Welcome to That's Not How a Baby Sleeps, the podcast where parenting meets hilarity. I'm your host, Alicia Daishon, and I've got the fantastic Eleni Katsinis as my co-conspirator in all things baby and toddler sleep. We're not your average sleep consultants, no cry it out nonsense or sleep training at all for that matter.
Today we are talking with birth doula, content creator, Blake Stewart, who's a former client of mine, about her experience working together, her attempt at gentle sleep training prior to working together, and what sleep looks like now. Hi.
Hi.
Nice it's so to good see to see you. This is Blake, Eleni, Blake. I know you guys haven't met yet.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Awesome. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I feel so good now, being out of the first trimester. I love being pregnant, and I like just love the whole thing. And so after the first trimester, I'm like, this is great. I can do this forever.
And you're having another boy. I saw
another boy. Yeah, we're so excited now, but I was so sad at first.
Aww.
We want so bad.
Yeah.
But now I'm so excited for brothers, and we want more kids. So hopefully a girl.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. I'm like, are you guys stopping at two or hoping to have more?
No, I am scared that I'll like never want to stop. So.
Endless babies.
Yeah. Yay. That's so exciting. I have two girls. Eleni has a little girl as well. So I don't even know what I would do with boys. And we're kind of like, my husband's like, we're done. And I'm like, but like, maybe
just one more,
but like, I don't want to right now. So I think it would be a big age gap,
and which is fun.
I don't mind it. Yeah. Cause what are you guys going to get? You're going to get like a 3-ish year age gap, right?
Yeah. A little younger. They'll be 2 years and 8 months apart.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah. So. That's good age gap. Yeah. I was a fan of the 3 years. It worked out very well. It made the transition a lot smoother. I can't, the two under two thing.
No, not for
us. I can't wrap my head around it. Like everyone's like, it's so nice. Like they'll be closer together. I'm like, no.
I was not.
Yeah, no. Oh, that's so exciting. I'm so happy for you guys. And I've been seeing all your posts about like, I guess, cause you had pre-recorded some stuff when you found out initially. So that's just been kind of trickling out, and the first trimester was really, really rough for you guys.
Yes, I was just so fatigued, and I just like didn't really consider what being in the first trimester was like while taking care of a toddler.
Yeah,
it was rough, and I was like so much more nauseous this time, and my pregnancy was sunny. I just had no symptoms. I was like, this is great. So yeah, it was rough, but I know that it could have been rough for a lot of my friends are like sick the whole pregnancy. So
yeah. Oh gosh. Oh, well, I'm so glad you're kind of, you know, over that hump now. But yeah, it's way different having to look after a toddler. Like I was absolutely useless my second pregnancy. I just like, I worked here during the day and stuff, and then just like laid on the couch all evening and just like slept. And my husband just cared for Ayla, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not doing anything. Oh, and Sunny's doing well?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He's good. He's such a good toddler.
Yay, wonderful. Cool. Okay, so we worked with you guys when he was about 11 months, right?
It's like 10, 11 months, yeah.
Okay. And I think I was looking back on like logs and stuff. He was waking like 3-4 times a night. And I know it was sometimes it was like longer wake ups and stuff. And then we kind of ended up discovering that he had lower end sleep needs than average. And he did best with like shorter naps during the day.
Yeah.
And then I know we chatted, like, is he still napping now or is he done?
We do like a 20-minute car nap a day.
Okay.
Where we're sitting. That's just like what works. Mm-hmm. Fighting him to like nap inside, rock him to sleep was making us both nuts. And so we're like, all right, if you nap, you nap. We're like always out and about and some point in the car that like gets us through the day. So that's kind of what his nap looks like.
And he sleeps all the way through?
Yes. Yeah.
Is it still like 6:30 to 6:30?
Yeah, it's more like 7 to 6:45-ish.
Okay.
But I mean, he has been through spurts where it's like 5 a.m. Like, he's an early guy. But it seems like we've gotten over that hump.
Okay.
But yeah, he's always like lower sleep needs, and like he could wake up at 5 a.m., 9, 10 hours of sleep, and just be like happy as can be, ready to rumble with the day, which is just wild to me.
I know, like, it's hard when you have a lower sleep needs child and you know, are expecting these beautiful like 2-3 hour naps at this age that just don't happen.
No, we've never gotten that.
No. When he was born, what was sleep like then? Like, do you feel like you've always kind of known he's like lower end sleep needs? Like, was he a cat napper, easygoing sleep wise, more sensitive when he was really little?
No, he was never easygoing when it came to sleep. Truly, from like the first night he was born, he wanted to be attached to us. He cried a lot. He, like, we couldn't put him down. Like, we're in the hospital for the first night and they're like, don't let him sleep on you. He needs to be in the bassinet. And I'm like, I have got to sleep and he's only sleeping on me. I don't know what to tell you. But that was like from night one, which just felt crazy. But that's just how, and it kind of just like carried out. That's how he's always been. Granted, we had some like red flag issues in terms of like oral ties. I think he was very sensitive to the antibiotics I got during labor, which I think really harmed his gut and made him very gassy the first few weeks. And so I think laying him down on his back was so uncomfortable and just didn't work. But yeah, between that and just like his temperament, he's always been like a very sensitive sleeper.
Yeah. And did you guys, I'm assuming you had ties revised and everything? Was it tongue tie, lip tie?
We did, yeah.
Yeah. How'd that process go for you guys?
It's obviously sucks. But I will say we had like the most amazing CST and chiropractor and like oral motor therapy, and like doing all of that helped a lot. But yeah, it's like just the worst process. I hope I don't have to go through again. And it's hard to know what the right thing to do is, and every situation is so different. My husband has horrible ties that like affect him now as an adult. And so I think that was like a big contributor to us deciding to like move forward with it, is I'm like, you have airway issues, teeth issues, all these issues. And I'm like, I don't want my baby to have these. So yeah, that was like kind of our process. But it's, I like always tell people, I'm like, it's not a like a quick fix process. I kind of anticipated, I was so desperate. I'm like, clip his ties, he's gonna stop whining, he's gonna stop being gassy, and he's gonna sleep through the night. I'm like, someone fix it now. and that was not the case. But ultimately I think it was like the right thing. I'm glad we did it. But I always tell people, I'm like, never just go to a pediatric dentist, let them clip it and be done with it. It's a more full body picture that we can't ignore. And what I always say is like, it is a surgery. It is a procedure that they're doing. Yes, it's like a laser, but it's so much for a tiny baby's body to handle, and you have to like take that into consideration when looking at the healing process and if it's like 100% necessary for your family.
Absolutely. And the stretches are invasive and everything too. It's like, it's a lot, and it's a lot for a new mom to be dealing with, and you know, you feel like you're torturing your child while you're doing these things.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's, yeah. And like you, you're 100% right. Like the body work and all of the aftercare and everything, they go hand in hand with the procedure, because you can do the procedure. And a lot of, I've had a lot of babies who are like, oh yeah, they just clipped it in the hospital. I'm like, well, did they give you any, like tell you what you have to do after? Oh no, no. And then the tie just reattaches and then you have to go through the whole process again.
Yeah.
It's just awful to even to think about. And I mean, there's also people who think that, you know, ties are not a big deal. And yeah, all that stuff. And not all ties do need to be revised, but they do need to be addressed in some way, shape or form, whether that's through, you know, body work and all of that kind of stuff. What was your experience with breastfeeding? Like, do you feel like that really helped?
Yes, I had a great experience with breastfeeding. We're still nursing.
I was going to ask, have you weaned yet or no?
He's slowly weaning because I think my supply is just like dipping and dipping. But he just always loved nursing. And the ties affected his nursing, but I think I had a large enough supply where he didn't have to try too hard to suck. It was like a fire hydrant situation. Opened his mouth and got the milk. So it impacted breastfeeding, but like he was clicking, swallowing a lot of air. Like there were issues, but not issues in terms of like weight gain, getting enough milk in, that kind of thing, which is why like a lot of pediatricians just ignore ties. Feel like he's gaining weight. He's the chunkiest baby in our office. But yeah, we had a great breastfeeding relationship from the beginning. He never once in his life took a bottle, not because we avoided giving him bottles, but he just refused them. And it was like a little, I don't want to say traumatizing, but it was just shocking in the beginning, being like, I need help and no one can help me. Like he physically will not drink out of the bottle. I think just that his tie issues, he was just not able to get his like tongue latched around a bottle. But ultimately I loved it. I loved being the one to feed him. I loved having that time together and I didn't mind it. It felt okay because I stayed at home with him and there was like really no urgent need to give him a bottle. So yeah, it worked out.
Yeah. What are your goals and stuff with breastfeeding moving forward?
With weaning?
With Sunny and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's honestly, thing is going how I had hoped and prayed for, which is that he would self-wean and kind of become less and less interested. I never wanted to have to say no and have like a crying baby begging me for milk and being like, sorry, it's shut off. And so this is kind of how I always like secretly hoped it would go, is I would get pregnant, my milk would kind of dwindle and he would be like, nothing here for me. So my hope is to keep that process rolling, and have him like weaned a few months before we do it all again with another baby. Just for me personally, breastfeeding doesn't feel like draining or like it's like taking something from me. I know everyone is like so different with that, but I'm just fine with him continuing to self-wean, and I know like being pregnant, my milk is gonna continue to just not be there, and so I don't know what he'll be sucking for anymore. That's kind of like my hope, is to wing it, and it's been working so far.
Totally. Yeah. I nursed through up until a month before I had Luna with Aelin. So I have been there. How are you feeling like comfort wise and stuff? Like, are you uncomfortable at all? I know like boobs are really sensitive, especially early part of pregnancy.
Yeah. A little bit more. But I feel like now, since I don't have a lot of milk left, he's trying to nurse for like 5 minutes. And so I'm like, it's like, not that bad. Whereas before he could stay latched for an hour if I let him. So to have him like on and off that fast, I'm like, meh, whatever.
Whatever.
But yeah, it definitely, I've never had any pain associated with breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And then when I got pregnant, you get that like kind it's of
like
feeling.
A pins and needle, like, oh, what are you doing? Kind of feeling. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but I found that like after the first trimester, it went away for me and I was like, eh, I don't really care. But I was honestly too tired to even think about weaning when I was pregnant with my second. Like I was just like, whatever. Like I would just lay on the couch all evening and do nothing. And then when it was bedtime, I was like, I'll do bedtime because I could nurse to sleep and just go to bed. And then I would wake up at like 10 o'clock at night, have a snack and then go back to sleep. So just did nothing. So yeah. And then, I mean, I kind of feel like we, like my weaning process with Aylin was just, it was so simple. It wasn't even like I think halfway through my pregnancy, I was like, hey, like if you wake up at night, I'm not going to nurse you. She was like, oh, sad. And that was it. And I was like, okay. And then at bedtime, when I stopped nursing to sleep, like it took longer. Like she rolled around beside me for like an hour the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is awful. And then like within a few days, she was like, okay, just snuggled beside me and went to sleep. I'm like,
how easily they adjust.
And I think the age thing helps too, for sure. Just that communication level and everything. So it makes it a lot easier for sure. Yay. Oh, I'm so happy for you guys. I was waiting for you to get pregnant.
I'm like, I'm calling you when
that's okay. So with Sunny, like going into motherhood and stuff, did you have any plans to sleep train at all? Like what were your kind of ideas around sleep going into to motherhood?
No, I didn't. I don't want to be dramatic and be like, I was so against it, but I just like knew that it wouldn't feel right for the way that I wanted to like parent. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I didn't realize that I would have such a struggle with my child sleeping. So I didn't think that I would have to even like consider sleep training, and we didn't. Even like when it got hard, I was like, I would rather be tired than sleep train. But no, I just like never considered doing it, but I also never thought about the alternative of my baby just like wasn't going to sleep for a year.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. So you did know, like, I know, like personally going into motherhood, I had no idea what sleep training was. Like, I didn't even hear about it until my child was like, probably like 5 months old. Like I didn't do any research. So that could probably just be me.
But. I was very, I think just being on social media first off, and like, once you get pregnant, your algorithm is like all newborn stuff. It's like all the same stuff. And so I would see people sleep training, I would see people like talking for it or against it. I like nannied a lot before, and like a lot of families sleep train, so I was like super familiar with that. I also nannied where they didn't sleep train and their child just like slept through the night without doing anything, and I was like, that's gonna be me. So I was like familiar with like a lot of the sleep world just from nannying, babysitting, and being on the
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I didn't know anything about children before I had them. I was not in that world at all. I worked in restaurants, and I was like, I guess I'll have one bit with, when I met my husband, I was like, I suppose I'll have one with you. Now I'm like, well, maybe three. But he's like,
yeah.
And now I work with babies all the time. It's just such a weird world. I mean, Eleni, she worked with kids prior to doing this. So yeah, she had more experience, but I'm like, I really have no idea. I had no idea what it was in for.
I also didn't think about sleep though when I was pregnant. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of families and moms, like during the pregnancy, it's about, how are you feeling? You know, how are you as the mom? And then the baby is born. Okay, how is baby sleeping? I'm like, why does that matter? You know, it was like such a big focus. I was like, she's sleeping like a baby. You know, like that's what she was sleeping like. And then obviously, just like Alicia, I dived more into sleep training, didn't want to do it, and then found the certification. And now we help families achieve sleep with no sleep training, which is beautiful.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it's just such a strange world. But I know before we worked together, you had signed up with like a gentle sleep training approach, right? Do you want to talk about that? Because I just always, I've told Eleni a little bit about what went on. it's so weird.
When I describe this to people, they're like, this exists. Like, it was at a point of desperation, my husband and I Googled gentle sleep training methods. I won't name the program. I don't want to be mean.
Yeah.
But this program came up and was like, we believe in attachment-based parenting and a gentle sleep training. We like don't do X, Y, Z. And we guarantee, this was the first red flag, we guarantee that your child's going to be sleeping through the night in 10 days. And I was like, hell yeah. How much? Like, I'm ready for We got the program, and I think another red flag with any type of training, sleep training program, is when it's like a one size fits all. So you hire on this person and everyone does the same exact thing for your child. And so that's what it was. You got like a list of things to do. I'm like trying to remember. I feel like I literally blocked this out because it was so weird. You had like three free training days, and they like told you how to pat your baby, how to put them down. The weirdest part that I'm literally embarrassed to even say is like they put a camera in your room.
I knew it. I was like,
and then would like message you on the app and be like, oh, don't do this. And I was like, what is happening? Like, so it just like, not only was like, I uncomfortable with the practices, it was basically the chair method.
Yeah.
Where like they're crying and you're just like standing there. And not only did I feel like super uncomfortable with like the practices, I'm like, this is like what we didn't want to do. It didn't work. And so I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
Sunny being like highly sensitive as well. Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah. It's not going to work. I don't care how you tell me to do these certain swishes on his back.
You know, you said that the padding was a big thing. It's like there's a specific way you should be padding, right?
There's a specific way you pat. Like, you couldn't pat his butt. You had to like do this like swishing hand motion. And it couldn't like stay on too long. And this is so ridiculous. And then you guys, this is a lot. You had to record yourself saying a mantra and then play it all night in their room. And my husband was like, we're not freaking doing this. This is kind of like, he's going to need therapy hearing us like sing this mantra to him for 12 hours
straight. What was your mantra? I have to know.
Oh, I'll tell you. Everyone had the same one, and you just had to like.
Of course.
And we still sing it sometimes and like crack up. We had to go, night night, Sunny. We love you. Night night, night night, Sunny. Like over and over and over again. And you had to replay this for 12 hours. Like, okay, this was completely nuts to me. And I'm like, what are we doing? What kind of like sleep deprived desperation have we gotten ourselves into? We stepped away from the program, and it truly like it was a whole dramatic thing to be like, this isn't working for us. And I think like most sleep training programs are like, if it's not working for you, it's your problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not doing it right. And yeah. So then I'm like, well, I'm a piece of crap, and it's my fault my kid's not sleeping. But I think by that time I was like, this is so ridiculous and I don't want to do this. I'm uncomfortable doing this. And he was sleeping better when I was just nursing him to sleep and putting him down and then waking up and nursing him back to sleep. And I'm like, we're all getting better sleep doing that. So let's just like keep doing this until that's not working anymore. And then that's when we called you.
And I think I've been following you forever on, I think it was TikTok initially and then on Instagram after that. I was like, hi, I can help, friend. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's weird. Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's so crazy to wrap your head around that. Like, this is, yeah, this is the process that so many families go through. It just. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you go through the whole 10 days? Did you guys last the 10 days of sleep? Like, is that what they tell you to do? Like, I know they said you can, you know, guarantee better night's sleep in 10 nights. So did you guys do it or no?
No.
No. Yeah.
Oh, And I would like, they would message every day and be like, hey, you haven't like logged the night, because like every morning you would wake up and you'd have to like log the night of like,
so how you know what happened, you're watching me.
Yeah, like you tell me. Or they would be like, we didn't see Sunny on the camera. I'm like, he's like in the bed with me the whole night. And I'm just like, it was just so silly. No, we didn't do the 10 days.
And it was a money back guarantee, right?
It was, yeah. Yeah. And so we got our money back. It was a significant amount of money. But they kept their promise. We got it back. He was like, this is like only the 1% of the people it doesn't work for. And I was like,
okay,
sorry.
Did they push, like, cry it out on you guys at all? Or is it just this gentle sleep training and that was it? Like, after, like, did they say, like, oh, that didn't work, so you have to do cry it out? Did they do that or no?
No. Okay. They were, like, pretty big on, like, you don't, like, leave the room until your baby's asleep.
We can appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, they never pushed that, but they didn't want you physically helping them to sleep.
Okay.
So like you're in the room with them, you're doing the methods that they want you to do, singing your songs, doing whatever, but they don't want you to like nurse to sleep, rock to sleep, hold to sleep, pat to sleep. Like they don't want you to assist.
Yeah.
So that was like kind of their mojo.
And I mean, that's really common with like all the gentle sleep training approaches. And I mean, I can appreciate them. Like we're not leaving babies to cry alone or anything like that, but all of those things, like they have so many rules around how you should be responding to your baby. And obviously we've gone through that with the approach that you guys attempted, but it's like the same thing with like pick up, put down method. Right. And I find especially too, and like, I was trained in all those methods, like with my initial sleep certification, obviously I don't use them, but there's just so many rules around how you should be responding. And like for pick up, put down, it's like, don't pick them up for X amount of time. Like don't make eye contact, all of that kind of nonsense. And they all operate under the idea that they have to fall asleep independently in order to sleep well at night, which is just not, it's not true. It's just doesn't have to be a thing.
And I think there's like, one of my biggest issues with it is I truly feel like, especially for first time moms, it makes you like not trust yourself as a parent. Like it makes you like trust these people who have no idea who you are and have no idea who your baby is, your baby's temperament, how you want to parent, how you are. Like you are like trusting this outside source more than you're like trusting your own intuition and trusting what your baby needs. And I think it like detaches you from,
well, you kind of have to detach yourself because you're sitting there in a room listening to your baby cry and you're not allowed to respond. Like you kind of have to detach a little bit for your own mental health, because you're sitting there like anxious, stressed out. And we always talk about like co-regulation, right? Like you're standing there not able to do what you want to do and pick your child up. You're anxious and stressed. They're obviously anxious and stressed as well.
Yeah.
Plus the crying, like it's such a recipe for disaster for so many families. It just doesn't work.
It's a lot. Yeah.
And I mean, if you have to sleep train, if you feel like that is your only option, then yes, take a gentle approach to it, but you also don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Not necessary. Okay. And then we worked together and you kept nursing to sleep. I think that was kind of the thing. Are you still nursing to sleep now?
Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. I prefer it because he goes down quicker.
Yeah.
But I mean, the crazy thing is like now he prefers my husband to put him to sleep, which I'm like, that will never happen. I'm gonna put him to sleep for the rest of my life. And he's like, you can go, mommy, daddy. And I'm like, okay, bye bye. I nursed him to sleep for forever, and it was just crazy because I just didn't think that was an option. And now I'm like, every time I see a sleep trainer being like, if you nurse your baby to sleep, they will never sleep through the night. And I'm like, we did that for a year. I nursed him to sleep and he would sleep 11 hours through the night.
Mm-hmm. Look at him connecting sleep cycles.
There's just crazy. Like so many of these like rules things of like something that I had in my head is like how you put them to sleep is how you'll have to get them back down to sleep. Mm-hmm. Like if you are nursing them to sleep and you're laying by them, they're going to wake up and be like, where am I? And where's my mom? They're smarter than you think. They can open their eyes and be like, okay, I'm like still in my crib, night, night. And like
nice go and back safe.
To was crazy and like revolutionary to my mind that I was like nursing him to sleep and he was waking up in the night and going back to sleep on his own without me having to go back in. And crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was possible. And it was.
Good. Good. So how did you feel after we worked together compared to prior with your other sleep training experience? Like,
so many things. I think the first thing is your intake forms are so extensive and well-rounded that you're looking at the whole picture of the baby. No one has ever asked me like, what is your baby eating? Does he have any like allergies and gut issues? How was your birth? Has he had oral ties? What are you eating? Like, how often are you breastfeeding? No one has ever asked me any of that. How's his nutrition? So looking at that, I was like, oh my gosh, it's more than just like, how is he sleeping? And then asking like, how is his temperament? How do I feel about sleep? It felt like someone was actually looking and like caring about me and my baby and not just making him sleep through the night. Like that didn't feel like the end goal. And then I think the thing that like we found together, oh, and you had us track his sleep in his windows.
Yes, and then excessively. I like logs.
Yeah. So, I think you had us do it without changing anything at first. You're like, just send me what he's doing. And I think you looked at it and were like, what if we cut his nap? And I was like, what? Like, he's hardly napping as is. Like, this is crazy. And something as simple as like dropping his second nap, he was all of a sudden like sleeping longer and longer stretches. Mm-hmm. And no one ever, like, I just had never considered like, oh, maybe he doesn't need 12 hours through the night and 2 2-hour naps. I was like, that's just like what, and if my kid doesn't do that, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And I did something wrong and my kid is like not getting enough rest is what I assumed. I actually think my pediatrician even mentioned it. He's like, oh, maybe he just like doesn't need enough, doesn't need as much sleep as some babies. And it just like went right over my head. Cause I was like, certainly that's not the case. Like he's and so yeah, after working with you, like a lot of things took a little bit of tweaking, like his nap times, pushing it like forward and back and like, pushing his bedtime way up worked for him. Mm-hmm. Doing like an early nap, he would nap at, I think it was like 9:30 to like maybe 10:15 and then be up the whole day. But then he would go down at 6:30.
He was one of the ones that was actually did well with an early bedtime. Eleni and I knew of us well. Have kids that would go to bed at a normal time. But it's
I'm like, the earlier we like try to get him down, it's like the longer he sleeps. I don't know like what kind of science that is, but yeah, we just felt completely different. And we're like, okay, there's hope for us. We're normal. Our kid is normal. And like, we don't have to make these like crazy drastic changes for him and us to get better sleep. And like, I think something that was really helpful is like, we could do what was working. And at the time, what was working is nursing him to sleep and then change what wasn't working. So like him, like being up a million times a night wasn't working. And so we wanted to change that. And so eliminating that second nap helped. It really helped having my husband practice, put him down, and just like create different like habit stacking around bedtime. Yeah. Just things that we like never really considered that ended up working really well for us.
Yeah. It's so crazy to think about. Cause yeah, like you're following age appropriate generic schedules that just don't work for your child. And so many people are like, I've tried everything. Like I have the perfect sleep schedule based off of what Google said or this other sleep consultant. And it's like, it's so often it's just like minor tweaks that it's just like connecting sleep cycles. Like it's can be so simple, but it's always just like, nope, this schedule's not working. It's because you're nursing to sleep. It's because you're rocking to sleep. It's your fault. We have to teach them to self-soothe now. This is like what we have to do. And it's just like so crazy to me. I'm like, nobody has to do that.
Nobody.
It's just crazy. Oh, that makes me so happy. Yay. Cool. So how are you feeling about going to sleep this time as a second time mom? Are you going to do anything differently or just do the same thing?
I feel like a lot of people have asked us like what, because just knowing like our journey with sleep and that we didn't sleep, of like what I would do different. I think one thing obviously is I would not stress about it. I think I was like, my kid is like 2 weeks old and I'm like looking at moms on call trying to like get him on these like perfect windows. And so I think like not stressing about the sleep as much. And then I think the biggest thing is like, I'm sure I will do things different because the baby's going to be different. And so like what worked for Sunny might not work for this baby. And so I think we're kind of like taking that approach of like, let's just like learn our baby, learn his temperament and see what works for him. And if it happens to be like bed sharing, nursing to sleep, like doing what we did with Sunny, we would do the same thing. Like it's crazy. Even though we were so tired, I probably, besides all the extra crap we did, like I wouldn't do anything different, even though it was like hard and it wasn't like quote unquote working. It is what worked. It's just because it didn't work for me doesn't mean it like wasn't working for Sunny. And so I think like, even though it's hard, like there is a bit of sacrifice in motherhood. And so I think like, I'm like willing to do that again. But if our baby likes a bassinet, we'll try a bassinet. If the baby wants to take a bottle, I'll let my husband give him a bottle every now and again. So I think those things, like, we might do different if it works, and we'll do the same if it doesn't, is our plan.
Yeah, I was the same way with her second. I was like, maybe she'll like a bassinet. Maybe she'll. And she was like way easier with sleep. We still did like a sidecar crib that was attached to the bed. So she slept in there happily most of the time. And then if I woke up, I just flip a boob out and it would be all dandy. But I didn't lose. I would say I didn't lose sleep like really with my second. Like you're waking up more and like, yeah, there's like in the middle of the night with a newborn and everything. But like I go back to sleep really, really fast. And I think having the sidecar crib attached was just like, if you like your crib, cool, we'll put up the wall eventually. If you don't, you can sleep with me. Like it left those options and stuff open. And it's just, it's so different going into it a second time. You're so much more relaxed and it's just great. Awesome. Yay. That makes me so happy.
Like, no, kind of like they're a baby and it's not going to like look like this forever. Mm-hmm. And like something else revolutionary that I think something we talked about is like, even if you do nothing different, your baby's eventually gonna sleep. And I'm like, yeah, it's true.
So but when you're in it, like you feel like this is my life forever now.
Yeah. And so I think going into it a second time, you like know it's eventually going to end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have Sunny, he sleeps great, it's fine.
yeah
and even him being like more on the sensitive side and everything, like you can't really get worse than that going into it, you know.
I feel like it's only fair next time we have a baby that just loves sleeping.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I was able to put Luna down a lot. Like I was like, oh, like, should I wake her up? They're like, no, you can just let her sleep. Like she slept independently, like a lot, like early on and stuff. And I still nursed to sleep. But like, I think in the early days, like she would go down drowsy, but awake. Like I just put her down, she'd go to sleep. I'm like, oh, weird. That's strange.
You're like, what? I know my husband and I were talking because we had our cousin's baby over who was just like laying on the couch sleeping. And he's like, I truly cannot imagine. Sunny has never done that. Never just like lay down and slept. I think we used a baby carrier like 5 hours a day. Like he only slept in a carrier. Yep. I don't think he never has done crib naps. He's only ever done contact naps and car naps. And so if our next baby just like lays down and naps, I think our brains will short circuit and be like, whoa, this is crazy.
The whole other world. I had so much more time during the newborn stage than I did with Aelin. And she was the same like as Sunny, like only wanted to be sleeping on you and low sleep needs, so didn't really sleep much during the day. It was a recipe for disaster. But yeah, it's so different the second time around. I'm so excited for you guys to go through this experience again.
Yay. So when did you become a birth doula?
Let's see. Sunny was 8 months old when I did the class. So what's the math on that? Like a year and a half ago.
That's so cool. So what's your favorite part about being a birth doula?
I could talk about like pregnancy and birth all day long. And I think that is one of my favorite parts. I am talking to like clients about their pregnancy and birth a lot. And I love that it's like one day, but it impacts you forever. It's like a story that you're going to tell for the rest of your life. And I love like helping women be excited about their story and like excited about their birth and be educated and empowered. And there is just like so much to it. And I'm like, it's like baby sleep. Everyone is so different. Their needs and wants mm-hmm. are so different. And I like just like hearing everyone's story and like why they want the birth that they want and helping them achieve that birth or have like a positive experience around birth in general.
That's awesome.
So cool. That's so yeah. beautiful. Do you have plans for your upcoming birth?
Yes, we're staying home this time, which I'm very excited about. I did a hospital birth with Sunny, which I didn't have a horrible experience. I love my OB. I just don't think the system is set up for how I would like to birth again. Knowing what I know now and just like looking back on my prenatal care and my birth and the postpartum, I just really love the way it looks for a home birth and how you're supported and cared for through like midwifery care. Really different.
It is very different. I had an OB with my first and a midwife for the second, and it was just like, oh my gosh, this is so, so different. Like they come to my yeah. house and I don't have to like, I remember after I had Aylin, I had a pretty traumatic birth with her and they're like calling me the day I got home from the hospital. Oh, so do you want to like bring the baby? I was like, I can't walk, like leave me alone. Like what? You want me to put this newborn in a car seat? And then like having an experience with a midwife, it was like, no, everyone, we're going to come to your house multiple times, weigh the baby here, just check on you. Like it was just so lovely. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm like, oh, maybe a third, because they were both hospital births and my second came, like we got to the hospital at 3:05 and she was born at 3:11. Like I almost had her in the car. It was insane.
My gosh, that's
my husband epic. Was like dilly-daddling. Like he didn't, we got, so the first, my first birth, I didn't want, like Blake, my entire pregnancy was like, I'm not pushing a baby out. And they're like, what? And I'm like, no, I'd like you to, I just want a C-section. I'd like you to cut the baby out of me. I don't have any interest in pushing a baby out. Like, well, you have to try. Like, it's your first. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Like the whole time I was like, no, I'm not. And they were like, you're crazy. Like you have to. And I'm like, no. So I did. And it was not like
they cut the baby out of you.
No, every intervention, like you could, because I just had, I didn't want to know. The whole idea of giving birth freaked the crap out of me. I didn't want any on it. I was like, nope, don't want to know. Like, I'm only doing this once. I don't care. So we get to the hospital and stuff. And, you know, it was like, well, you know, your water broke, which is weird because I know water, a lot of people's water has to get broken. Mine with both babies, like actually broke. But I had no contractions yet, probably because my body was just, you know, not doing anything yet. I wasn't ready. Yep. So like, well, normal. I guess like we can keep you. And if you want to get induced, so I was like, yeah, do whatever. Like they kept asking, like they were always asking my consent at the hospital, but I had no information about anything. So I was like, whatever. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, just do it. I don't care. So it was horrible. And then with my second, I hired one of my girlfriends is like a birth educator. Uh-huh. I believe she's a doula as well, but she came in and like did a whole class with us and like talked about, okay, like laboring at home. We did like exercises with like ice cubes on my back where she'd like push them in and like I'd have to breathe through that. Like there was just so much more support. So like going into it, I was kind of like, well, we'll see how it goes. Like maybe I'll get an epidural, like maybe I won't. And we didn't have time for any of that. And my husband in his head had it that we had time. Like, and my contractions or my water broke at 12:30 and she was born like just after 3:00 in the morning. Like it was insane. It was so fast. An hour after my water broke, I had my first contraction and then like I had another one 20 minutes later and it didn't stop. Like I was like, am I just not handling this well? He's trying to time them And I was like sitting backwards on the toilet because my midwife's like, that's a good way to like labor. And I get on the phone with the midwife. She's like, what are you doing right now? I was like, I'm sitting on the toilet. She's like, get off the toilet. Like, you guys need to come in. He didn't like clue in that this is like an urgent thing. So he's like,
yeah.
I'm like, go grab the hospital bag. I have like a list upstairs for Aylin, just because we're dropping her off at a friend's house. Just throw everything in the list in a bag and let's go. And I like didn't, you know, you don't have like a really an idea of time, right? I'm like, yeah. I feel like this is taking a long time, but I'm not sure. He was upstairs and he told me this after we had her. He's like, Alicia, I had her toothbrush in my hand and I was like, I should put this in a Ziploc. Like, he was doing shit like that. Like, just like
unacceptable.
And like, I didn't put gas in the car either. There was like 15 kilometers, but we're close to the hospital. And he's kept saying like, oh, I think we should stop for gas. And I was like, you are not stopping for gas.
But if you right stopped now for gas, you would have had a car.
I would have had her in the parking lot, like 100%. I felt like for 30 minutes, I was holding a baby in. Like, it was absolutely insane. And he just like wasn't registering. We got to the hospital and he gets into the room and he goes in the corner and starts setting up snacks. And then comes over and he's like, so she seems like she's in a lot of pain. Like, are we going to talk about an epidural? They're like, sir, that is your baby's head. Like, are you kidding me? He's like, oh my gosh, we're past this point. Like, you were not listening. The midwife is like, I was wondering what was taking so long. Like he was putting toothbrushes in Ziploc bags. Like, just absolutely ridiculous. But it was just so cool to go through that experience without an epidural because I got, I was like, oh yeah, with, and like, we had pretty much flung Aylin out of the car at a friend's house. Like, I was like, just go. And he's like talking in the driveway. I'm like, get in the car. Like, and I'm like, we need to go pick up Aylin after because everything went so well. I was like, okay, I'm ready to leave now. And they're like, well, we got to do like some, you know, stuff and whatnot. I'm like, okay, well, can somebody please check on Aylin? But like the next day I was like up walking around. Like, I was like, I feel great. I was like, I could have another baby. Like, that was crazy. Like, the high that you get from that is just, it's unbelievable. So yeah, like now I'm like, well, I want to have a home birth, but
yeah. Go for a third.
Yeah, so good. But we also, my birth educator too, she was like, you're gonna have to like talk her through contractions and like she's gonna hit a wall and you're, you know what, it's just monkey mind. Like, she has to like push past it and stuff. So he's at the top of the stairs while I'm downstairs having contractions going, it's just monkey brain, it's okay, Alicia, you just have monkey brain. He wasn't even calling it monkey mind. He was like, you have monkey brain, it's just monkey brain. I'm like, I'm going to kill you right So now we have that story to tell because it's just so funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a very interesting experience. But yeah, and you know, people have home birth and do all the things, but apparently
we're very excited.
Yeah, are you going to do like water birth?
Not sure. that's the plan. We'll set it up and see
what happens.
Yeah,
so excited. When are you due?
October 8th.
Okay. Very exciting. Oh, wonderful. Okay.
That's awesome. Are you going to have Sunny there? I know a lot of moms that like had their kids like while they birth their next. I mean, obviously if it's the middle of the night, he might be sleeping, like whatever. I don't know if you just like thought about that or not.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. I feel like I always see like these moms on Instagram and their kids are like surrounding them and it's so beautiful. And I'm like, I want that. And we'll see, maybe like once I go into labor, I'll be so down, but I think he would probably want to like jump in the pool and like, he would be like very distracted. So I'll probably have my mom come get him and then like, maybe like come right after. After he's born, but we'll see. I think that I would be like a little distracted.
It's distracting. Yeah, I mean, the age thing might help
just over bit. Yeah, he might be like a little too young. But that's the plan as of now, is for my mom to get the child and the dog.
Does Sunny understand kind of what's going on at all, or do you feel like he does? I know it's like
I think so. Like, he says brother a lot and like he's excited and he'll say, mom, get him out. But I don't know that he like fully grasps like what that means. I kind of think he thinks he's gonna like immediately have someone to play with, like he's getting a toddler to play with. Like, I don't know that he understands he's getting like a tiny newborn that's going to be on me a lot. But he like understands, I think, as much as a 2-year-old can.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah. So excited for you guys. Oh, okay. Well, what is one thing that you would tell expecting moms going into their first like birth experience?
Wow. I think kind of like what I was talking about before, that it's one day. And I think that's a lot of OBs are like, healthy mom, healthy baby, that's all that matters. Like, it's like one day that you're pushing the baby out, what's the big deal? But I think I talk so much to moms about, it's one day, but it really matters. And I've seen how much like a birth affects a mom positively or negatively. And it's like your initiation into motherhood, and that it matters, and that it is a good thing to plan for your birth, however that looks like for you, whether it's like getting a doula or deciding you want to be at the hospital or home or a birth center, like wherever you feel safest. That I would just say, when you go into a birth, like really think about what you want and how you want to feel. That's like the first questions I ask moms at like our prenatal meetings, is how do you want to feel at your birth? And we like base so much off of that. And so I would say that, like, going into birth, think about how you want to feel, and then try to plan around that. So yeah, I think that's something.
For sure. Okay. And then what's one thing that you would want to tell expecting moms in regards to sleep? And I think we talked about this a little bit, but.
Yeah, I think to trust yourself and really take time to learn your baby, and you don't have to do what everyone else is doing. I like wish that's something I told myself, is like, just because everyone else's baby is doing XYZ doesn't mean you have to do that. I would tell people, like, don't compare your baby to your friend's baby. I could go on and on and on. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is like, trust yourself. I don't like the term like mom guilt or like mom shaming yourself, but I'm like, sometimes when you have those like feelings of like, this doesn't feel good, like I feel guilty doing this, like pay attention to that. Like, if there's a reason why certain things feel bad to us, I think we're more instinctual and intuitive than we give ourselves credit for. And like, if it feels bad, you don't have to do it.
Absolutely.
I think I would also say, like, if you want something, the options aren't never sleeping or sleep training.
Totally.
And so I would say, like, there is like a million other things to look at without having your baby just cry themselves to sleep.
100%. Yeah. There's so many other options out there. And it's just not, I feel like it's just not main, it's getting more mainstream, I feel like. And having people and, you know, mom influencers and stuff talk about like what sleep actually looked like for their family, and not just being like, okay, this is how we sleep trained X, Y, and Z. You know, I love it when you on your platform talk about sleep and Sunny's situation and everything, because it is like, you had all of the hiccups and stuff at the beginning with all the medical stuff, the oral ties, all of that, really probably played into, you know, that. And, you know, you still have a child who is, you know, now 2 years old and sleeping through the night, and has been sleeping through the night for quite a while.
Like, yeah.
Early on.
Hard when you can like hear the desperation in moms when they're like sleep deprived and tired and they need something to change. And you kind of like do the only thing you think is going to work. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I like can see the appeal of sleep training. I just think when you look more into it, it's hard, and it's hard when people are like, okay, but it worked. Yeah. I sometimes want to ask, like, who did it work for though? You. Yeah.
Why did it work?
Yeah. And so I think just like asking ourselves those questions, like it's so hard when your baby doesn't sleep. And like, I feel like I talk to so many moms about it. It doesn't make it like less
hard
and like you're tired. But you have to take like your baby into consideration. Like they have needs just as much as we do. And so trying to find something that like works for the whole family, not just mom and dad, you know, because I think your baby suffers.
Totally. No, that's so, so true. Awesome. Okay. Well, where can everyone find you on social media? Because I love all your content. Like you're one of the moms that I will like sit there when I'm supposed to be working and just stop and listen to you talk in your videos. Like I could listen to you all day.
It's at Blake Alexis, BlakeAlexiss. So there's two S's at the end on Instagram and TikTok.
Awesome. And you're in Florida, right?
I'm in Florida. Yep.
So if anyone is looking for a birth doula, Blake is in your area. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so, so much for coming and hanging out with us today. It was of so course. Wonderful to chat and catch up and so everything.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to connect with us beyond the podcast. You can find myself on all social media platforms at moonbay.sleep. And for more parenting and sleepy goodness, hop over to Instagram and follow Eleni at EleniCats. Until next week, keep embracing the chaos and remember you're doing an amazing job, even if it doesn't feel like it.